You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL FM Midvale.
KSL Salt Lake City.
From the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios, this is KSL News Radio.
Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. 55 degrees, KSL's top story. Gubernatorial candidate Phil Lyman and his pick for lieutenant governor in court. They're waiting for a decision about Lane Bangerter's eligibility to run.
Lyman and Bangerter's lawyer Chad Shattuck argued that the elections office had no right to not accept Bangerter's filing for candidacy back on April 29th. Even if the filing officer did not think Bangerter was eligible, he should have been able to file by the deadline and be on the ballot unless a legal objection had been raised. Shattuck called it election interference from people who work closely with the opposing lieutenant governor candidate, Deidre Henderson. The problem they're fighting over is language in the candidate qualification summary that says a lieutenant governor candidate must have been a resident of Utah for 5 years next preceding the election. Bangerter has been a Utah resident for 30 plus years of his life, but he was in Idaho for a time before returning to Utah in 2021. So what does next preceding mean? That's what the judge is going to decide today. Emma Keddington, KSL News Radio.
KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas says the judge has two options in this case. One is to offer Bangerter a writ of mandamus,
mandating this lieutenant governor to put his lieutenant governor candidate on the ballot.
The judge's second choice?
He says to Lyman, you lose. He's not qualified under the rule.
Ultimately, Skordas says there's a strong chance this case will go to the Utah Supreme Court. At the Chad Daybell trial, an FBI agent was on the stand today, walking the jury through to the discovery of Tylee Ryan's body in the backyard. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is live outside the courthouse in Boise. Amy.
Jeff, there was a dramatic moment with this FBI agent, Steve Daniels, where he held up a pick and a shovel and showed them to the jury. He said they found these in the garage, and because they were obviously used and had maybe char on them, they were likely used to bury Tylee. He also held up a chain necklace and a charm, saying they found these in and around a fire pit in the yard. And then he showed a photo of Tylee wearing that exact necklace and charm. Several photos were not shown to the public of Tylee's burial site. But even as this FBI agent described the photos shown to the jury, Chad only glanced a few times at his screen, and one of the jury members continually shook her head. Reporting live in Boise, Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
In another case, their daughter is dead, and they are frustrated with the judge. The family of University of Idaho student Kaylee Goncalves has released a statement. They complain the case against Brian Koberger has become a hamster wheel of motions and delayed decisions. They're demanding the judge get tough and get on with it. There is still no trial date set for the quadruple murder trial. KSL News Time 3:03. Our top national story this hour, longtime Trump aide Hope Hicks is on the stand at the Trump hush money trial.
I'm not sure he's closed his eyes once when Hope Hicks has been on the witness stand. As she described it, they were together all the time. She was one of his most loyal aides. When she walked into the courtroom, she did not appear to look at Trump, but his gaze certainly followed her to the witness stand. And right off the bat, she told prosecutors that she has not communicated with Trump since 2022.
It's ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky outside the courthouse. Hicks testified about the Access Hollywood tape. She said that Trump just considered it the way guys talk. We'll get more about her testimony coming up with ABC's legal analyst, Royal Oaks. He'll join us at about 3:15. Cinco de Mayo is this weekend. It is shrouded with misconceptions thanks to years of commercialization. KSL News Radio's Eric Cambrera asked Utah's Latin community how they feel about it.
Let's start with the fact that, no, it's not Mexican Independence Day. That's in September. I ran into Andrew Velasco inside Latino Mall on the west side of Salt Lake, who shared the sentiment many in his community do, that it's become a manufactured party holiday like St. Patrick's. But Velasco also sees it as a way to bring people into their culture.
While that's not something people of Mexican descent may necessarily do, it does create the discourse for larger conversation around understanding a culture you don't really understand.
The city of Puebla still hosts a parade and reenactment of their victory against the French army, the true origin of Cinco de Mayo. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
A new version of COVID has arrived in Utah. KSL News Radio's Alexandria Bonilla with details.
The new set of variants were picked up in wastewater surveillance. They're nicknamed FLIRT. The Utah Department of Health and Human Services says the variants are changing the spike proteins more effectively, making it easier to disguise themselves from antibodies and infecting other cells. The few confirmed samples in Utah are not showing any symptoms outside of the normal COVID symptoms. And so far, there are no signs it will cause another summer surge.
During last year's surge, the CDC reported hospitalization rates went up as much as 12%. Hundreds of schools in Norway have banned cell phones in class, and from that action, we're now learning more about the effect of phones at school. Dr. Lee Richardson from the Brain Performance Center says, no surprise, the students there have better mental health.
The study showed that there was actually a 60% reduction in the visits, wow, psychological visits.
Since they banned cell phones in the class, there's been a 46% decrease in middle school bullying. KSL News Time 306, Friday afternoon and first look traffic. Ricky, early start?
We are coming in hot. I'm afraid we begin with emergency traffic in Weber County, where we have full-on delays. Southbound I-15 starting just before the Flying J in Marriott-Slaterville, down to an accident blocking the left lane at Riverdale Road. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
You know what Sunday is? No, you don't. You don't. Stay here. My minute's on the way next.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.